inside, deep as the river. Oh.
Chapter 5. Zip it all the way up to G. A few days had been bad enough. A week was pushing it. 2 weeks and Eleanor had begun asking difficult questions, and Jeff had begun to reach the end of his tolerance. Then a phone call, in the middle of the night. He'd barely been aware of the first few minutes of it. Will had been patient enough to let him wake up before telling him the news. "You've got to come out here. Don't argue with me. He knows where I live, okay? He knows." "Who knows?" "Take a wild guess," Will had said, his voice sharp and cold. Jeff wasn't used to that sort of thing. Will had always tried to be warm with him. He remembered cursing at him, maybe calling him a reckless bastard and a fucking maniac. Then he'd calmed down enough to feel like shit for saying it. Will looked terrible. His skin seemed stretched, pale. His eyes were clear, but haunted. Jeff remembered that look. "When Susan finds out about this, she's going to kill me," he thought. "She'll skin me alive and hang me on a wall as an example to others." "Jesus," he thought, as he held Anthony's hand while his son walked beside him. "You're a goddamn fool, Jeff. A goddamn fool." The airport was busy but calming. Jeff had always liked airports, in the same way he liked hotel rooms and fancy restaurants. They all held a unique essence of anonymity, while catering to your every need. As they rolled up the concourse, trailing their suitcases, he watched the shops pass them by. No obligation, no pressure. Just a transitory space where he could feel as if he wasn't being a reckless fool, even with a subtly placed FBI escort flanking them while they walked. He caught sight of himself in a shop window display as they passed. He dressed in a rush, a white t-shirt that was a little too small, faded stonewashed jeans, and the sandals that had been by the door. His sandy blonde hair was a bit of a mess, flopping down over his ears and forehead. He needed a haircut, he thought, as he ran his hand through his hair, trying to temper it. His green eyes didn't seem focused. He was pretty sure he knew why.
"Will Daddy meet us? Daddy went on the plane too, and he said he'd be on lots of planes. I want to speak to Daddy."
"We're going to see him soon." Jeff smiled down at Ellie fractiously. She looked entirely comfortable in her toddler harness, secured tightly to Jeff's belt. She hadn't been so impressed when he'd initially put it on her, but he wasn't taking no for an answer. One kid was enough to follow in a vast, easily losable in area such as an airport. And Will had a story a week about Ellie's love of hiding in department stores, in cinemas, in playrooms. She seemed to think it was great fun. Jeff didn't think it sounded that great.
"Gonna go on a plane! Gonna go on a plane!"
She jumped forward like a frog with every word.
"Can I see out of the window and we'll go real high and see our house?"
"Yeah, maybe," he said absently as he checked the departures board. "If we can sit by the window."
"Dad, can I get a drink?" Anthony asked.
"Sure, buddy. Just as soon as I find our gate, okay?" The journey was too easy. He kept waiting for something to go wrong. Jeff sat in the aisle while Ellie plastered her face to the window, watching as they taxied to the runway. Anthony had sulked.
"I want the window," he'd whined.
Jeff had pointed out that this was Ellie's first plane ride, so it was only fair she get to see them take off.
"You can have the window on the way back, okay?"
Jeff leaned out into the aisle and looked back up the long tube of the plane. Murky gray seats with yellow head flaps. He could see Agent Whitward in 32B reading a magazine. Agent Marquez walking back to her seat from the bathroom. The fastened seatbelt's light pinged into life. On the way back. However that was going to end up.
"You sure I look okay?"
"You look great, honestly," Jeff said for the umpteenth time that morning, grinning as he added,
"Who would have thought you scrubbed up this nice?"
"Thanks, that's funny, really," Will said sardonically as he straightened his tie. It may have been a joke at heart, but Jeff was only half-kidding. He would never have imagined the mess of a man he'd pulled from the ocean would be standing before him, looking like your average blue-collar southerner. Well, more than average, really. Hair trimmed to soft waves, a pressed suit hanging nicely on his lithe frame, glasses covering his eyes. He'd even shaved, which Jeff wasn't so sure about because it seemed to take 10 years off of him. Made him look too young. Will fussed with his jacket sleeves.
"You're gonna have to go."
Jeff checked his watch as he handed Will his briefcase.
"No point in all this if you're late,"
he continued as he walked towards the door.
"Jeff."
The one word stopped him. Over the past 4 months, Will Graham had been a tightly curled bud refusing to open. No amount of prodding or pulling had helped. But Jeff had stayed anyway. He brought over food when they cooked too much at home. He'd turn up at Will's door and not stop knocking until he got an answer. He'd bring over beers, because then at least he knew Will wasn't drinking anything harder. He'd helped him build his case against his Alpha's family for getting his daughter back, vouched for him, got his one high-up friend in child services to do him favors he wasn't sure he deserved. And Will Graham had let him. Let being the operative word. It turned out, he'd found quite quickly, that the bud had to open on its own terms. Will Graham wasn't one to be ordered around or coerced into anything, even if it was regaining his own sanity. So when he heard his name, said in that deferential and quiet tone, Jeff Milo stopped and turned. Will was standing by the mirror, staring into it as if psyching himself up for something. Yeah? Jeff asked. Thanks, Will said, swallowing. You're a good guy, you know that?
Sure I do.
Jeff grinned. You're a good guy. Then he took two strides towards him and pulled him into an awkward hug. Jeff hadn't known what to do with his hands or his arms, or where to put his body in general. It was a shock. Will didn't do physical contact, and it made him feel surreally exceptional. Their chests were pressed tightly, Will's arms around his back. Up close, Will's scent was noticeable. Hot skin, soap, and something indefinable. Will didn't let go as soon as he expected he would, and all of a sudden, Jeff found his face in Will's neck, taking a long, slow inhale. A moment started, then it stopped. Will pulled back and cleared his throat, looking distinctly uncomfortable. He wasn't the only one. I have to go, Will said. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks. Go bring her home, Jeff managed to smile. It was an added stress, that's all it was. Jeff went home, climbing up over the dunes on the beach. The smell of hot skin was in his nose every time he sniffed. Anthony, who had been outside playing on the porch while he and Will finished up, ran at his side giggling.
Gonna have a little sister, he was shouting.
Anthony, don't scream, he said curtly. If they gave her to him, he thought anxiously, little Eleanor Graham, stuck in the arms of his criminal Alpha's relatives while her dad tried his best to get himself on his feet, make himself acceptable. It'd been hard on him, harder than it should have been, harder than anyone deserved. Jeff almost couldn't stand the idea of Will coming home empty-handed. The thought of him cracking open like a dropped egg. He'd be hospitalized, or worse, if the depression came back. Jeff couldn't stand the idea of dragging another body from the ocean. The nightmares from just once were bad enough. Jeff fixed himself and Anthony some iced tea and put something mindless on the TV as background noise. He was glad Susan wasn't home. She would have said something inflammatory. It would have started an argument. Right now, he couldn't take that. She didn't like Will. He wasn't entirely sure why, but she didn't like him. But then, Susan had never been the most understanding of people when it came to the problems of others. "Ever think there's a good reason they took that kid away?" was her favorite question when he tried to defend their neighbor. That was usually a clincher, because Jeff didn't know. All he knew was that, as far as he was concerned, Will was a good guy, and if he could get his kid back, he'd be an even better guy. He was quietly intelligent, with a dry sense of humor that sometimes blindsided him out of nowhere. He was considerate and agile and couldn't hold his liquor. He liked fixing machines because he said they made sense, which most other people seemingly didn't to him. He was suspicious and unapproachable, but once you got to know him, he was loyal as a dog. Jeff liked him. Susan thought Jeff was naive. Jeff didn't care. He would rather be naive than whatever she was. He'd fallen asleep on the sofa. It was Anthony who'd woken him. His little face split into a childish smile.
Dad! Dad! Someone's knocking!
Catching sight of the time made him nervous. Early evening. Why had it taken so long? He'd gone to the front door on instinct, finding it empty. His heart sank. Then Anthony laughed, wobbly on his toddler feet, and ran through the hall. Jeff followed him to the kitchen, then to the back door. He found Will sitting on his back porch, facing the ocean, his form an almost silhouette against the golden sand. Hey! Will turned to look over his shoulder. His eyes were shining, but his mouth smiled. Jeff couldn't bring himself to relax until he heard it. She's coming home tomorrow.
Oh, thank f-
Jeff aborted the word halfway as Anthony toddled out, latching onto Will and blowing a raspberry onto his shoulder. Will laughed, his eyes creasing, and stuck his tongue out as Jeff picked Anthony up. The little boy giggled, arms flailing.
Tony, don't be a beast.
It's okay, Will said, wiping at the wet patch on his shoulder. I don't mind. Go on inside, okay? And stay out of the kitchen. They sat together on the porch. Will was quiet, but then that wasn't unusual for him. The smile was. The low-level, constant smile on his face was almost alien. Jeff liked it. Eventually, Will turned to him and said, in a slow, quiet voice, "I think a celebration is in order." "You want to pick up your baby girl with a hangover tomorrow?" Jeff asked, not impressed. "This'll be the last time I get to have a drink," Will said, still smiling. "Because as of tomorrow, that's me, okay?" "That's you, huh? Cold turkey. And anyway, you'll be my supervisor, right?" Jeff laughed and shook his head. "Just a couple, then." "Thanks, Jeff. You're a good guy." Will Graham was livid. So livid he could barely see straight. So livid that it had taken him a quarter of an hour striding out of the building just to realize that he wasn't as alone as he thought he was. He was being followed. First instinct was to draw his gun, the heavy reassuring weight Crawford had given him when he'd handed over his temporary badge. Aim and demand a name. Instead, he'd managed to keep calm enough to figure out it was a familiar face. He'd kept walking anyway. The familiar face followed him until he hit the nearby park. At this time of evening, the lights were coming on one by one. The sound of the wind in the eucalyptus trees wasn't calming. It was terse and harsh. It fitted his mood. He liked it. He walked in, finding the nearest bench and throwing himself onto it. It wasn't long before the face drew near enough to speak to him. "Well, fancy meeting you here," she said. "Yeah," Will replied, shaking his head. "Tell me about it." Alana Bloom hadn't changed much in the past couple of years. Still well-dressed, even in stressful situations. Still smelling of geranium oil and flowery musk. Still drop-dead gorgeous. Will had always known he wasn't interested in women, but even he could admit it. Her long, black hair shone blue in the fading light. She crossed her legs and sat back, her skirt hitching up over her knee. "How long have you been here?" Will asked.
"A couple of days."
"Haven't seen you around," he said deadpan. "Been watching me long?"
"It's not like that."
"Sure it is. I guess this is Jack's doing?"
"He contacted me, yes. Do I have to stress the point?"
"Is there a point?" Will asked with a sharp smile.
"Stress the point that I'm not here to analyze you. I'm not your keeper. I'm just here if you need me."
"Then why the fuck are you following me, huh?" The silence was broken by the sound of blackbirds singing virulently in the trees. The eucalyptus leaves turned in the air, white sides catching the evening glow. Alana stayed quiet, as she always had when Will became belligerent. He took a deep breath through his nose, but the feelings wouldn't abate. The music from a nearby car startled him, loud and abrasive until it sped out of earshot. Will was spoiling for a fight. He knew it. The feelings wouldn't leave him. He bit at the inside of his lip and rubbed at his face.
"Hannibal said you'd been to see him," Will said, mainly because he liked using Lecter's name thoughtlessly. It made him feel like he had power over the man, even if it didn't exist.
"Yes," Alana said carefully. "But not for a while. 5 months ago, I think. I put him through a thematic apperception test."
"You did what?"
Will laughed derisively.
"Oh, Jesus! I wish I'd been there for that. How long before he laughed at MF-13?
"Well, it was obvious after that he was playing me."
Alana shrugged, sitting forwards. "But then I've begun to expect nothing less from him."
"He loves to play people,"
Will said savagely, his eyes hard, though his smile remained. "And people just love to give themselves to him to play with. Do you know how he found my address?"
"Will."
"Phoned the Chicago Department of Psychiatry and asked for you. He phoned your fucking number knowing you wouldn't be there, and wheedled it out of some fucking grad student. Remember to kick them out of college, by the way, when you get back, that is." He added acidly.
"Look."
"Know why he knew you wouldn't be there?" He could feel his voice getting tighter and tighter. "Because he knew I was here. So he knew you'd be here, too. Smart. Real smart, huh?"
"It wasn't in the message. I mean, he didn't send it to the Tooth Fairy. The cryptographers cracked the message he put in the personal ads. It wasn't anything major."
"I love your work," Will repeated, as if he were spitting out stones.
"You are very beautiful. He still knows how to charm, doesn't he?"
"He didn't give out your address," she stressed. "We can be thankful for small mercies."
"No,"
Will gritted out, turning to look at Alana. She flinched under his stare. "He didn't send it to that fucking lunatic. I should be so goddamn pleased. Instead, I have another fucking lunatic with my address. A lunatic who prefers his victims with a side of salad." The evening began to dim.
Will felt his anger subsiding with it, even if his resentment continued to smolder, hot and red. When Crawford had come to tell him the news, Will had almost smelled the bitterness on him. "Lecter sent me a message." He'd handed it to Will without waiting for the question, written on a piece of scrap paper in a tight, controlled hand. "Graham family. Stellrecht Point, Key Largo, Florida. Must send postcard." Crawford didn't know how lucky he was that Will didn't up and leave right there and then, once he'd crunched the paper in his hands into an unrecognizable ball. He'd known why Lecter had done it. Power and control. He'd wanted to show Will that he wasn't safe. Would never truly be safe. That at any time and in any place, Hannibal could find him. Somehow, he also knew he was expected to feel gratitude. Gratitude to Hannibal for not sending the Tooth Fairy his address and setting the madman on his little girl. Will would never acknowledge that. Not in his lifetime. When he'd been given the message, truthfully, he'd felt sick. Then terrified. Then white-hot angry. Then weak at the knees. Ellie. Oh, Jesus, Ellie. He thanked his lucky stars that Milo was willing to do what needed to be done, even if the man had looked like he wanted to reach through the screen and strangle him. Will didn't think he'd fight him if he wanted to. He had every right. Brought this on yourself, haven't you? He thought. Can't leave well enough alone. Come on, he said stiffly, rubbing at the back of his neck as he stood. We'd better get back before they send out the dogs. Okay, Alana said reasonably. Will hated her reasonable tone. It made him feel like a child. Maybe if you stop acting like one, she'll stop treating you like one. Will told his conscience to go fuck itself. The oppressive Washington City air was alien, even as it held bad memories, remembering the stuffy Baltimore streets as he'd walked to the market, picking up smoked salmon and brie as a surprise when Hannibal had been on 3 back shifts. The man smiled when Will laid out the tray with an espresso on the side while Hannibal dried himself, fresh from the shower, the kiss at the corner of his eye and the hand at his hip. Now all he wanted was fresh air from the ocean, sweeping in with the morning tide change and the long shadows cast on the sand dunes. Not the long shadows cast by the high-rises. The change in air coming with the change in streetlights as the cars puffed up their engines and pumped out their fumes. Everything was out of place. Him, most of all. It was a juggle of confusing and malicious thoughts. Will wanted to go home, but now he wasn't sure where home was. He started to laugh. Just like old times. What is? This? You talking me down from some crazy shit while I scare the crap out of everyone else? Back then I didn't have to. You had someone else to do that for you. You know, you never thanked me. For what? Alana frowned, scuffing her heel as she walked. For marrying Hannibal before you got your chance.
Will, for crying out loud!
Don't think I didn't notice. You're lucky, you know. Back then I was pretty head up. Probably would have punched your lights out if you'd touched him.
He was my mentor while I did my PhD at St. James. That was it.
Wow, this is still a thing for you, isn't it? A boatload of bullshit. You still haven't thanked me. That's because I don't like to thank people for taking a bullet. Anyway, I never wanted to marry him. Just fuck him, huh?
Christ, that's enough! She said, irritated as they reached the door. I'll be at the Marriott. Jack has my number. He can pass it on. Maybe you can call once you're done feeling sorry for yourself.
Will didn't think that would be any time soon. I was right, Jeff grinned, poking Will in the chest. You can't hold your liquor. When'd you ever say that? Will asked, laughing as he let himself drop ungracefully onto the sofa. The celebration had been trickier than he'd expected, mainly because he was the supervisor, and, as supervisor, shouldn't have gotten drunk. It had seemed harmless, a few beers. But then the rum had come out from the back of the cabinet, where Susan thought she'd hidden it from him, and he'd made caipirinhas with the mint from the plant on the counter. He could almost hear her voice. You start on the rum and you drink too much. I hate it when you get drunk. It had made him want to drink more. Anthony was already asleep in his cot upstairs. Jeff had thought it would be okay. He hadn't meant for things to get messy. The more they drank, the more everything dripped down into a comfortable malaise. Jeff spent half an hour telling Will about giant sea snails, sitting on the floor leaning against the sofa, most of which Will seemed to understand fairly well, considering how much they'd drunk. Then they'd fallen to talking about family, friends. Will had pulled his wallet out and tugged out the pictures he kept there.
Gee, is that you? Jeff had said, spluttering into his drink.
Me and my dad, Will said, slapping the picture on the glass coffee table, when we used to go finish fishing in North Carolina.
Fish is as big as you.
The photograph is small and cropped, just enough to see a stern-faced older man behind a teenage boy holding a huge bass. Will had been a good-looking kid. He looked up when another was put down.
What's this one?
That's me getting married. Will managed to sound like he thought the word was deliberately obtuse. Jeff's eyes had gone wide.
Married? You never told me you were married.
The photo was slightly curled at the edges, as if it had been taken out and put back many times. Photo Will looked young, much like he had that morning with his clean-shaven face. Though Photo Will's suit was a far better fit, dark black, and his smile seemed without a myriad of worries underlying it. Beside him stood a handsome man wearing a gray, double-breasted suit with a charcoal-colored waistcoat and maroon tie to match his eyes. He was distinctly unusual in the face, high cheekbones and full lips, hair swept into an elegant side parting. He was clearly older than Will, but then Jeff couldn't tell by how much.
I did tell you. Will looked at him with a frown and smile. Didn't I? That's...
Will pointed at the man, and for a moment, his eyes lost their happy luster. Will cleared his throat and started again.
That's Eleanor's dad.
Fuck, Jeff said. He purposefully poured himself some more rum, straight, and took a large sip. He felt like he might need it. There were so many questions running through his mind. Will had told him the alpha he'd mated was in prison, but had never said what for, or told him they were actually married. He couldn't help saying,
Look at you two. She's going to be one good-looking lady when she's older, huh?
Will smacked the back of his head. Jeff punched him in the shoulder.
Give me that, he said, snatching it back. I'm getting rid of them.
What? Why?
Because this is it. New beginnings.
Will sounded incredibly, suddenly focused.
And I don't want any of this shit in my new life with my baby girl. So this,
he stuffed both the photos into his empty glass and picked up the rum,
is goodbye.
The alcohol lifted up and over his young face, smiling with the fish in his arms, up and over the handsome face of the alpha in his trim suit, until they were all drowned in a heady brown. For a moment, Jeff felt stunned. But Will was laughing, properly laughing from his belly to his mouth, curled on the sofa, his face red from the heat and the alcohol. And then Jeff was laughing too, not even knowing what the joke was. He moved from the floor to sitting on the sofa at Will's feet and finished his drink in two swallows.
Oh God, it's so stupid.
The end of the word dissolved and elongated into another laugh.
What?
Jeff asked, breathing heavy from his own fit.
What the hell's stupid?
Being sober, Will grinned,
is so fucking stupid.
Yeah, Jeff agreed, letting his head rest back against the sofa.
Too fucking right. All day I've felt like utter shit. In fact, for the past couple of months I've felt utter shit, and now I feel great.
'Tis that simple.
Thank you, Latin America.
I mean, look at me. Will struggled to sit up, his own legs getting in the way. Jeff grinned and grabbed his hands, pulling him round until Will fell against his side.
See? See that? I don't give a crap about it, he said, nodding to where Jeff held on to him.
Will took Jeff's right hand and draped his arm around Will's shoulders.
On a normal day, I'd be wanting to kill you about now. But see?
Rum, he said, as he relaxed, head falling onto Jeff's shoulder.
It's a miracle,
Jeff said, his head swimming. The last two swallows of straight liquor had pushed him over the metaphorical age.
Sure damn well is. See?
Will cupped Jeff's head and turned his face into the crook of Will's neck. There was a clawing sense of sobriety in the familiarity of the act. Jeff swallowed, but couldn't stop himself from drawing in that scent. It was warm, hot even, burning in his nostrils.
Earlier on, I wanted to kick you in the nuts for doing that.
Yeah? Jeff said, unsteady as he pulled back. Enough, but not enough. He had pulled back just enough for their foreheads to be nearly touching.
Yeah.
Will closed his eyes, smile still plastered on his face. He breathed out, sweet mint and heady rum, and a hint of sugar and hops. When Jeff leaned in and kissed him, Will merely laughed tiredly.
And I would have probably castrated you for that, he said.
Eyes slid open. Will didn't stop him when he leaned back in. They bumped noses. Will chuckled dreamily. He did laugh against his lips, muffled but genuine. The arms around his shoulders held him in place. Jeff thought he might have been a little more sober than he'd hoped. Things had escalated from there. He didn't entirely remember the whole thing, or how they'd progressed from a gentle, regretful, drunken kiss to having his tongue down Will's throat as Will fisted his stiff cock, freed from his fly, and Jeff slid his hands down under the waistband of Will's jeans, past his ass to find his dripping entrance and slip his fingers inside. He did remember it the next morning. Unfortunately, they both did. Will went to the safe house because he didn't think he could bear another phone call. It was a tall Georgian townhouse, inconspicuous in its looks and safe in its area. He didn't recognize the agent at the door. She introduced herself as Marquez, short with black hair cut into a sharp bob, fanning against her neck and her bronze skin. Will didn't mind that she grilled him and double-checked his badge at the door. It meant she was doing her job.
Daddy!
He would be lying if he'd said he wasn't ecstatic to feel Ellie in his arms. As soon as she'd seen him, she'd run the full length of the long corridor beyond the entrance and jumped. He picked her up and swung her around, pushing his face into her curls. Oh, Ellie. Oh, Ellie, I'm sorry. I missed you. I missed you so much.
Daddy, I miss it. You too. We went on a plane to see you.
I know. Yeah. Will looked up to see Milo descending the stairs. His face set. You want to tell me about it, huh?
I'll tell you all about it!
Ellie squealed. Okay, but it's dinner time. Will looked away, back to Ellie. How about we get some food and then we have dessert and you can tell me everything. I brought cake.
Uh-huh.
Ellie bounced in his arms.
Uh-huh. I want the biggest piece!
It turned out Anthony and Ellie had been playing with Agent Whitward in the living room. It was long and high-roofed, with a large fireplace and tall windows. The dying light cast odd shadows. They'd been playing buckaroo. Whitward nodded to him when he entered. He gave Ellie a nudge back in the door, leaving them to their fun. When he returned to the main corridor, Milo was still standing halfway down the stairs. Will nodded, licking his lips, and followed him when he turned and ascended. There were three doors on the second landing. Milo took the first on the left. The door closed with a snap. It was cool inside, sparsely fitted with a cheap wardrobe and dresser besides a single bed with a blue duvet. Will leaned against the wall and dragged in the smell of the stranger's house, mixed with the very faint smell of damp. Milo sat down on the bed, his shoulders sagging. It was quiet in the way only people with too much to say could be quiet with each other. Will remembered Hannibal being the same when he had something on his mind. Will had always been able to hear the cogs ticking round in his brain. Used to drive him crazy. Eventually, Will broke the silence. Does Susan know? Yeah. Jeff nodded, taking a deep breath through his nose and letting it out. Yeah, she knows. I'm guessing she wasn't happy. Nice guess. Feel vilified, did she? All the things she used to say about me must be coming true for her, huh? Will, would you stop it? I've had a long day. He stopped it, though he was itching to tell Milo he had a long 2 weeks. Enough of bouncing about over the southeast, staring into places filled with the memories of a sick man who needed to kill like others needed to get laid, of staring at bloodstains on walls and beginning to understand why they'd been put there, looking at photographs of dead kids and wishing he wasn't, of falling asleep to the feeling of Hannibal trailing his fingers along his spine. Sorry, Will breathed out instead. I mean it. I'm sorry. I'm really damn sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. Well, it has. So that's all there is to it. Yeah, Will agreed, even though Jeff's tone left a hell of a lot unsaid. Susan's going to come and get Anthony. Take him to stay at her mom's. From St. Petersburg? I thought she was away on research. Wait, you're not going? Will looked up, frowning. You shouldn't be here. You get that. This isn't your place. Not entirely yours, either, Jeff pointed out, looking up at him. It is, Will nodded. I wish it wasn't, but it is. Look, you need to go with him. I can't stand the idea of this fucking up your family to— Susan didn't go away on research, Jeff butted in. Will snapped his mouth shut and thought this is where the boat begins to sink. She left me. God damn it. Will ran a hand down over his mouth, fingers tripping off the bottom of his chin. Why the hell didn't you tell me? Because I thought she might change her mind. Come home. I've been waiting for her to call since before you left. She hasn't? She hasn't. Right, well. Will felt derailed. That doesn't mean you have to. He stopped, then hesitated, finally managing. This wasn't because of... you? Jeff let out a tad of a breath. Jesus, Will, don't be so full of yourself. Okay. We've been falling apart for a while now. Jeff sounded like he was explaining it to himself, convincing himself. Think maybe... shit, I don't know. We were holding it together because of Tony. Me? I don't know. Look. I want to stay, all right? All right, Will nodded. He sat down on the bed, careful not to touch Milo. I'd like you to stay, too. You're a good guy. He managed a strained smile. You know that?
Yeah, Jeff said, leaning forward, elbows on his knees. His smile slight but noticeable. So you keep telling me.
The door opened after a brief knock. Will looked up to find Marquez at the door, her severe face looking between them once before talking. Crawford needs you back at JEH ASAP.
Can you give me a ride? Will asked. I was dropped off.
Of course, she said before disappearing. Will left before Jeff could say anything to make him reconsider. The sound of Ellie's high-pitched voice following him out of the door, grasping at his ankles as if to slow his footsteps. The mansion sat on the hill, amidst its grounds just outside of Washington. Sprawling acres of green land, not a single part left to chance. Cropped gardens, mowed lawns, tennis courts, arboretums planned to within the leaf. Will thought that part of him appreciated the organization, while the rest of him screamed for free will to return to the greens. Trees and tall grass and wild flowers. He thought he preferred that. As Hannibal drove the Bentley up the exorbitant driveway towards the officious frontage, he began to feel a little antsy.
You have nothing to be worried about, Hannibal said, running his fingers down the back of Will's hand as he changed gear.
Not worried, just anxious. You have no need to be anxious either.
Sure I do, he said, looking out at the flower beds lining the drive. He caught sight of a tall fan, of beautiful plumage, and heard a wild cry like a child's voice. A white peacock. Will sighed.
Sure I do. A butler came to welcome them, trailing two smartly dressed youths who took their bags into the house. Will itched to help, hating to see others carrying his things. He was still a little rattled from the speed of the past few weeks. The marriage had been planned as if Hannibal had already had everything in hand for months, which Will was beginning to suspect he had, and then getting clothes fitted and trying to find people to come on his side, a rather depressingly short list, and trying to get time off to go away for their honeymoon. And now, an invite from the soon-to-be in-laws. Will felt he had every right to be anxious. French ambassador Court Robert Geyer Lecter, the uncle. Semi-retired prima ballerina in the Moscow Ballet, Lady Murasaki, the aunt. The money didn't need a price tag, and the connections were like a spider's web that spanned the globe. Will felt like a small fleck of dirt floating in a champagne flute as he walked through the door. The staircase in the main hall was doubled, a symmetrical split, reaching up to the second-floor balcony lined by grand and dour-looking portraits. The height of the room alone gave Will a sense of reverse vertigo. He had been so busy looking at the stairs that he hadn't noticed the person approaching from the left.
"Hannibal, my dear, it's so good to see you."
He had no idea what to call her, not that she was paying any attention to him. She was a good 2 feet smaller than Hannibal, black hair tied back in a tight bun which only accentuated her high cheekbones and slim, dark brown eyes. Will had to admit she was stunningly beautiful, even if he'd rather she wasn't. It was easy to see her as superior to him, with her regal bearing. Semi-retired or not, she moved with the flat-footed duck walk of a ballerina out of her slippers, and her arms moved in a graceful wave as she placed her hands on either side of Hannibal's elbows and allowed him to lean in and kiss her cheeks, once, twice.
"Ogenki desu ka, Murasaki-basan?"
he asked while Will moved on his feet, trying to appear comfortable.
"English, Hannibal, where are your manners?"
Though when she finally acknowledged him, he wished she hadn't. Her brown eyes were accusing, and her smile did nothing to reach them. It seemed to stick beneath her cheeks like a jammed door.
"I am well, but this must be Will Graham."
"Pleasure to meet you," he said, nodding his head.
"Of course," she said ambiguously. Will was sure it meant many things. Of course, it's your pleasure to meet her. Of course, he would not know how to act. Of course, he had turned out to be just as unacceptable on first meeting as she had expected him to be.
"Is Uncle home?" Hannibal asked as he removed his gloves.
"Kariwa kono yoro o kaeshimasu,"
his aunt answered in Japanese. Will bristled, not blind to the obvious slight.
"Then we shall freshen up before he returns, Will?"
"Right," he said stiffly. He couldn't help but feel infinitely better when Hannibal offered his arm. Will linked with him and felt his set shoulders loosen slightly. Merely walking to Hannibal's room felt as if he were receiving the grand tour. The house was vast and grandiose. The halls lined with red carpets flanked by polished floorboards. The walls decked in tapestries and sporting priceless artworks, as casually as a mother displays their children's drawings on a fridge.
Hannibal's room was a beautiful suite, the furnishings decorated in violet and silver, four large windows with heavy draperies facing out over the gardens. The king-size bed looked large enough for six people to sleep comfortably, and the furniture was all distressingly original. Will didn't feel he'd be comfortable using any of it in case he broke something he'd regret. "Relax," came the half-order, half-reassurance, as Hannibal walked up behind him and took hold of his shoulders. "Not going to happen," Will smiled grimly. "Feel free to keep trying, though." "I see you were not to be persuaded," he said, as Will turned to face him. "Don't think it's me who has to be persuaded," Will said tightly. "My family are more than capable of being civil." "Civility has its sharp edges. When is your uncle home?" "My aunt said this evening. He normally returns from work around 6:30. We are free until then." "Good," Will said, not beating around the bush. "Because I need a bath. A long, hot bath. In a dark room." "May I join you?" Will smiled. He felt as if he should be objecting to their making love under the roof of relatives, but reminded himself that if they didn't care about him, why should he care about them? "Not sure if that'll help me relax, exactly, but I find I can't say no." "I am glad," Hannibal said, leaning in to run his tongue up the side of Will's throat, making him shiver and gasp. "Because I was not sure how much longer I was going to last, trapped in that car, forced to keep my hands on the wheel. Your scent is most effusive today." "With all these clothes in the way, how can you possibly tell?" Will teased demurely. Hannibal had smiled, eyes shining. "I will always know you, dearest," he said, whispering into his ear as he undid the first button on Will's jacket. "Inside and out."